This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. We will get to Barack Obama and what he said. You know what? We're going to get to that right about now. Then we'll even talk a little bit of Civil War. Do we have Democrat fatigue? All that. So much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's begin with this email, because it'll lead me right to what Barack Obama said on stage. The email is, Jesse, I still fully believe the Chernobyl disaster and other countries finding out about it was the single greatest factor in killing the Soviet Union. They were dying anyway, of course. Communism never worked, so on and so forth. Mikhail Gorbachev, Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, he said this. He said it was really Chernobyl that killed us. It put the final blow on us. Why? Why was that the final blow? Well, the Soviet Union, obviously you know about the Communist Revolution. They have this Communist Revolution, 1917, this horrible civil war. And then this major country on earth, Russia, became a communist country. So you have all this land, all these people, all these resources under communist control. And they tried to make it work. And things just kept dying. Centralized command of any country and any economy does not work, cannot work, will never, ever, ever work. But they were able to make it last for decades because of completely controlling information, interior information and exterior information, meaning they controlled every media source inside the Soviet Union. You weren't going to be a newspaper that stayed open very long if you criticized the communist government. All the TV programming had to be approved. They controlled all of it, complete 100% control of information. Unless you're somebody smuggling in newspapers on the black market, if you are any normal Soviet citizen, every single thing you see is controlled. Now, on the exterior front, people were dying. Things were dying inside of the Soviet Union. But they would tightly control what the outside world could know about. Now, combine that with things like this. America's left, it's not just modern, America's left, they are communists, and they will see fellow travelers when they look at other communists. America's journalists, while the Soviet Union was dying, while Joseph Stalin was killing, starving to death millions of Ukrainians, this is famous, Walter Duranty went over there, observed everything, and came back to America and lied through his teeth. Everything's hunky-dory. Can't believe how well it's all working over there. So the leftists that run the world's media all ran cover, joined forces with the Soviet Union, and ran cover for that evil, murderous regime. Now, this can go on for some time, but it can't go on forever for a couple different reasons. One of the main reasons is everything's dying. Yes, you can control everything for a period of time, but you can't control the fact the economy is dying. Industry's dying. People are dying. Everything is failing. Things are failing because a bunch of moron communists run everything. They are appointed for their communism, not their ability. None of this sounds familiar, right? They're appointed for their communism, not their ability. And when you do that, what do we call DEI? The death of everything? When you do that, everything around you will slowly but surely die. So the country was rotting. Painted rust is what it's been referred to as. Rotting from the inside. Year after year, more and more rot. The second reason is You cannot completely control information forever. Even in a situation where you control every TV station, every newspaper, it was widely known in the Soviet Union that things didn't work. It was widely known that the government was corrupt. It was widely mocked when the government would put out on the news at night that we had a record crop this year. Don't worry, another record crop. You know why? Because every year they said it was a record crop, yet people were starving. Eventually, you're a Soviet citizen, you turn on the news, and you spend the whole time rolling your eyes at the blatant lies you're being told. So all these things were stacking up on them already. And then Chernobyl happened. They tried to cover it up as best they could because they're communists. But you, at some point in time, you kind of have to let the rest of the world know that there may be a little hint of nuclear fallout coming your way. Once that word came out, the world started to say, wait, what? Why? What are you doing? What happened? And you don't want to, but you have to open up the books and show the world, this is who we are, this is what we're dealing with, this is why it failed. And there, the world truly found out the emperor has no clothes. It can't be covered up anymore. This huge country, really great, amazing historical country, Russia, has been completely destroyed from the inside by the communists. Everything rotted. They killed everything. But that leads me perfectly to what Barack Obama was talking about on stage. We've talked about before how the communist lies about everything on purpose. He doesn't do it hesitatingly, on purpose. When you're in the Soviet Union, you must lie about the crop. You know you do. You have to lie about everything at all times. It's necessary. You are expected to lie. You would get in trouble for telling the truth. How many times have I told you about social media, evil as it may be, being possibly the final death blow to the communist? Well, this communist knows it.
Part of what we're going to have to do is to start experimenting with new forms of journalism and how do we use social media in ways that reaffirm facts, separate facts from opinion. We want diversity of opinion. We don't want diversity of fact. By the way, it will require some government, I believe, some government regulatory constraints.
What are the facts around Hunter Biden's laptop? I wonder what the government censorship bureau would have said the facts were around that.
Around some of these business models in a way that's consistent with the First Amendment, but that also says, look, there is a difference between these platforms letting all voices.
I'm going to play it again. Don't worry, I'm going to play the whole thing again. But listen to how he has to walk this tightrope. You know what he wants. I know what he wants. Complete control of information, the silencing of his enemies, and he wants to use the government for it. He can't come out and say that. So listen to how he talks. The First Amendment's important, but you see, we kind of have to ease our way into. Listen to how he talks.
Voices be heard versus a business model that elevates the most hateful voices or the most polarizing voices or the most dangerous in the sense of inciting violence voices.
I'm going to play this again. It's a minute long in its entirety, and I'm not going to interrupt it this time because this is American Communism 101. When Democrats speak, they are trying to push Soviet-style communism on this country, Soviet-style control. But they understand in this country, because that's not in our DNA, they have to be very careful with how they present that. So they'll praise the Constitution, the First Amendment, the first of any of these things. I'm going to play this in its entirety because this is American Democrat 101 in the year 2025. They're selling communism to you while trying so, so hard to not let you in on the game.
Part of what we're going to have to do is to start experimenting with new forms of journalism, and how do we use social media in ways that reaffirm facts, separate facts from opinion. We want diversity of opinion. We don't want diversity of fact. By the way, it will require some government, I believe, regulatory constraints around some of these business models in a way that's consistent with the First Amendment, but that also says, look, there is a difference between these platforms letting all voices be heard versus a business model that elevates the most hateful voices or the most polarizing voices or the most dangerous in the sense of inciting violence voices.
Our communists aren't any different than the Soviet ones. And Barack Obama's been trying to walk that tightrope for a very, very long time.
Under my plan of a cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket.
Uh-huh. Always the same thing. Whatever, let's move on. Jesse, I apparently was nominated to receive a flag from Pure Talk. It came folded properly and in a triangular box. I don't know who nominated me, so I will say thank you. I will say thank you here and hope they hear it. I've in turn nominated my father. He was a Vietnam-era Signal Corps veteran and my personal hero. Thank you for your entertainment and the history lessons. I love that Pure Talk's doing this, man, and I love that people are starting to get their flags. Remember, Pure Talk is trying to give out 1,000 allegiance flags. American flags made in America. Those are allegiance flags. They're trying to give out 1,000 of them to veterans before Independence Day. Nominate somebody. PureTalk.com/nominate. Nominate somebody. That's a cool, cool freaking thing. All right? And while you're at it, maybe switch to the mobile company that does that instead of Pride Month. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. It's time to switch. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's move off of this current stuff and do some other things for a little bit. Jesse, I have a Friday history question for you. Do you think the Army of Tennessee, led by Forrest with Pat Claiborne as his right hand in 1862, instead of Bragg with Kirby Smith, could have actually won the war? I love the show. Forrest would be Nathan Bedford Forrest, one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. So a real, like, vehemently racist human being. Like, he believed, one of those guys, it was in his bones. But when it comes to combat, you got to take the good with the bad. He was an incredible general. He was a nightmare for the North. There's all kinds of writings about this freaking guy is a nightmare, causing all kinds of problems. He had all these cavalry raids where he was just very, very good at combat. He was very good. Probably not the type of person you want to invite into a soul food restaurant, but a very, very, very good general. I don't believe the South could have won, period. I just don't believe that. I think the South's only chance to win the Civil War, and this, you can debate me. It's not like I know. We're all debating history here. As soon as Lincoln won re-election, it was over for the South. I think the South's only chance was Lincoln losing re-election. New president steps in and says, hey, South, you can stay a separate country. That or the South getting another major European country to join with them, which they did try to do, to join with them. And the problem always is with the Civil War. This is a great statistic, but it's so revealing. New York, which was obviously part of the North, not to insult your intelligence, New York had an economy 5 times the size as the entire South. When you look at the Civil War geographically, it looks kind of even, right? And you think, well, it's North versus South. You got a bunch of Southern country boys versus a bunch of urban Northern guys. But it wasn't even close to that. It was very similar to Japan in World War II, Japan and us in World War II. Initially, because Japan's tip of the spear was very sharp and they were very, very capable, they had a lot of initial success against us. And the South had the exact same thing, where they really slapped the North around a lot. They had better generals, much better generals earlier in the war. They had guys who were just better shots. They were better troops earlier in the war. But you better end that war really quickly if you're them, because you don't have the economy to sustain a military on a long enough period of time. The exact same thing doomed Japan. Yeah, December 7, 1941, woo, couldn't have gone better. 1942, really, most of it. Japan's rocking and rolling. They're sinking our naval ships off of Guadalcanal. They're having all kinds of success against us. They're rocking and rolling. But they're losing planes, losing ships during this time, and they just didn't. They didn't have the economy to produce as much as we could produce, and they just got overwhelmed. The exact same thing went through the South. There's all kinds of historical, what if Lee had appointed this guy instead of that guy? What if Lee hadn't done this at Gettysburg? I've seen this a lot, because Lee made some very fateful decisions at Gettysburg. What if he hadn't done this and had instead done that, and the South won at Gettysburg? Even if the South had won at Gettysburg, that wouldn't have changed the trajectory. And the trajectory was the South really never stood a chance. They just didn't have it economically. They didn't have it economically. You can't survive forever like that. They didn't even have control of the seas. And you definitely had to have that. You had to try to control the seas. What, Chris? Chris said, what if we got British support in the South? What's this we stuff, Chris? Okay, so I'll set aside the way Chris asked that question. What if we got British? Well, that would have changed things. That you need. You need a big benefactor sometimes. When you're the underdog, when you're overwhelmed economically and militarily, you need a big brother of some kind to come in and help. Now, the problem with that is that's usually going to come with strings. Look at exactly what's happening right now with Iran and Israel. Israel's all, hey, America, you could help. You want to help? I feel like you should help. Hey, why don't you step in and help? We're accepting all help. You want to help? You want to help? You want to help? I understand why they want that. Better keep in mind, Israel, that's a dangerous game. American planes start dropping American bombs. American ships start running missions over there. America is going to choose to have a big say in how things play out afterwards. You ask Big Brother to come help. Big Brother oftentimes will come help, but then Big Brother's going to pick what we're having for dinner that night. That's kind of how it works. Let's move on. Let's talk about Democrat fatigue. First, why didn't I reenlist in the Marine Corps? Next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't mind us. We were just discussing during the break whether we should just go full conquest and conquer Iran, to which I immediately thought to myself, we should pick up a radio affiliate over there after we conquer it. Don't shake your head, Chris. And then think how big the Jesse Kelly Show would be over there. It would be huge. I could totally see it. La, 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 la. It would be enormous. What? Chris, why are you, what? It would be enormous over there. I can tell they have an appetite for the Jesse Kelly Show. Who doesn't? Dear Machine Gun Kelly, recently I think I heard you say you didn't reenlist. Not judging, I don't mean to pry personally, but I was curious what led to this decision. Were you disillusioned? Did you feel accomplished? You accomplished what you'd set out to do? Why did you decide not to reenlist? His name is Eric. Okay, so when I was in Iraq, I was coming to an end of my 4 years. It just happened to work out that way. I had months left. It was 4 or 5 months left. And my 4-year enlistment, I signed up initially for a 4-year enlistment, was coming to an end. Now, I know you're going to find this shocking. I was certainly shocked by it as well. But I did pretty well on the ASVAB, the aptitude exam you have to take going into it. I did so well that I qualified for any MOS I wanted in the Marine Corps. They were going to let me do whatever I wanted. And my father was so upset to his dying day about this, I chose infantry. He was so mad. He's like, what are you going to do with that? That's not. So I said, Dad, I'll kill people. That's important. Anyway, they knew that, right? They keep a file on you. And I had been promoted to corporal by that point in time. So I was a non-commissioned officer by that point in time. Now, my plan was to get out. I had always intended to do 4 years. I had never intended to do eight. I had never intended to be a lifer. I wanted to better myself, serve my country, grow up quite a bit, which I obviously needed to do. I totally have by now. I am a very, very mature human being.
You know, freedom is not free.
Daggone right. I needed a lot, but I only wanted 4 years of it. I wanted to serve. I wanted to see if I was tough enough to do it. But disillusioned. I don't know how to answer that question. We were frustrated by the end of Iraq, no question about it. There were a lot of things over there that chafed on us a great deal, a lot of things. One of the big ones, it probably was the biggest one for me, was the day we were told to put away our American flags. We were very proud to serve our country. We were flying American flags, and they came to us and said, well, we don't want to be viewed as conquerors. Put all your American flags away. You want to disillusion a bunch of troops? Go tell them to put down the flag they're supposedly fighting for. That may have been a small moment for whatever idiot politician or general came up with that policy. It was not a small moment for us. That moment right there was probably the moment I didn't reenlist. We were very upset. To this day, I'm very upset about that. So I was, I guess you might say, disillusioned a bit, but certainly not hating it, not hating the Marine Corps by any stretch. I appreciated a lot of things about it. It had been quite an adventure. And they came to me with something every guy wants, an offer to be a spy. Kind of. Let me explain. I was told, hey, you need to go down to battalion headquarters. It wasn't where we were. We were out at a different outpost doing different things. So they had sent a ride out, and I was to go down to battalion headquarters. I go in, and this was a recruiting pitch. Because of how I'd done on the ASVAB, and I was an NCO, and all these other things, good conduct medal and all that crap, which is nothing super special at all. You get that if you just didn't screw up for 3 years, but whatever. I had a very clean record. It looked good. They tried to recruit me into military intelligence. Now, this is me. I'm a dude. They got my attention. I said, okay, I'm listening. And they took me over and they showed me all the military intelligence, you know, stations they were at, and were talking to me about very vaguely about some things they were doing. And I'm half listening because I'm thinking the same thing any red-blooded American male was thinking. Wow, I'm going to be James Bond. That's the same thing. Look, what do you want me to tell you? I wish I was more mature about the whole thing. I wanted to be a spy, okay? I wanted gadgets in my shoes. I wanted an exploding pen. That was all on my mind. Would any of that have happened? Absolutely not. It would have been mostly sitting down writing reports on Microsoft Word. But in my mind, I had an exploding pen, all right? My one thing was, I was 23 at the time, something like that. It's 22, 23. I knew that, well, for me anyway, my career clock was ticking. I wanted to go start some sort of a career. So if I was going to sign up, I think they wanted me for another 3 years. If I was going to sign up for that, I wanted some sort of a skill that I felt would help me with any kind of a career in the real world. So I asked them for a guarantee. The military, and I don't know whether or not the private sector runs it, but I know it's part of the military, has intensive foreign language training, where they will take you to a school. And we're talking 2-3 months. I don't want to say fluent, and I've never been there, so I can't say specifically, but you'll know the language. 2-3 months. whatever it is. Now, they're cramming you in a classroom, and they're beating it into your face for 8-9 hours a day. So don't get me wrong. You're going to pay with sweat and misery for the whole thing. But at the end of it, you will speak the language. You will be able to habla in a way that only I can.
Buenas tardes.
What's that, Chris? What did I want? What did I want? I didn't actually have a specific language. I wanted a second language because I've always admired it. I've always thought it was cool when people can speak two languages, and I was always too stupid to ever pick up those skills myself. So I didn't care what it was. It looks good on a resume, whatever it is. What, Chris? What? You can pick up Rosetta Stone? Well, I didn't know about all that stuff at the time, okay? I wanted another language. I asked for a guarantee. They would not give it. They tried to give me the government version of a guarantee of, well, we can't put that in writing, but I think we should be able to make that happen. I am my father's son. I don't trust anybody on this planet as far as I can throw them. I said, put it in writing, or the answer is thanks, but no thanks. They said, we can't. I said, then I am checking out. Goodbye. And that is how that story went. Hey, Jesse, the other week you talked about Americans having black fatigue, but do you think they have Democrat fatigue in general? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. That's not very nice, lady. I am seeing a lot of people on social media who are sick of the riots. They're sick of the protests. They're sick of everything surrounding illegals. I'm seeing no sympathy for the people being hurt at the rallies. I've heard a lot of people wanting the Marines to come in and take care of things. I believe people are done with the nonsense and want it to stop. What say you? Well, there is this thing about human nature. And it's crazy. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And how consistent it happens throughout time. It's happening right now. It's always happened. It will always happen in the future. And that thing is this. When people get power, any kind of power, human nature says you will use that power you have as if your power is unlimited and it will never end. That you've seen this with governments, with kings, with celebrities, with business leaders. Maybe you've seen it in your workplace, in your church, in your whatever. When people get power, it just warps your mind. You think to yourself, I'll have this forever, and my power is unlimited, so it's party time, baby. And that's crazy because all of human history points to the fact it will end, so you should be very careful how you use it. I'll explain how that pertains to Democrat fatigue and all that stuff in a moment. Before I explain that, I want to explain Legacy Box. What is it? What are they doing at Legacy Box? Why do I talk about this? Well, they will send you a box. I know you're surprised by that. And what you need to do is you need to take all those hard copy pictures, not the ones on your phone, all the home movies you have, the baby album photos, the wedding album stuff, the grandpa's World War II picture on the wall, all the stuff that may go up in flames tonight, drown in a flood tonight. You take those things and you put them in the box that Legacy Box sends you. Then you send the box away. Not overseas, not to China, to Tennessee. The Legacy Box people will hand digitize all of your stuff. Then they send you back the originals plus a digital copy on the cloud or a thumb drive. Once you have that thumb drive, once you have it on the cloud, those pictures, those camcorder tapes, they're forever. You get it forever. Isn't that precious? 50% off today at legacybox.com/Jesse. Legacybox.com/Jesse.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now let's discuss. The question was Democrat fatigue. Do people have Democrat fatigue? All the endless Democrats are screaming about things like the deportations and calling ICE human traffickers.
We have ICE federal agents pulling up
terrorizing our communities, hopping out of unmarked vans, stealing and, yes, kidnapping people, not giving them their day in court, and, yes, human trafficking them to other nations, other countries.
But it's not catching on.
According to a new NBC poll, 51% of Americans say they support Trump's handling of immigration and the border.
We live through, you and I, we live through what was possibly, I don't want to oversell it, peak communism in America. What I mean by that is, we'll call it the year 2020, and Joe Biden had just gotten elected. In the year 2020, Joe Biden gets elected. Democrats have, at this moment, they have complete control of the federal government. They still have control of most of it. Remember, 92-93% Democrats. They have complete control over the American media. The media is covering for Joe Biden. They effectively destroyed Donald Trump. The intelligence apparatus of this country was working on behalf of Democrats and still is, but that's another story. Every university is all in. America had reached such a level of communist poison that companies in this country would advertise that they will be racist against white men and brag about it. They will brag about it. Remember, every advertisement about how we're only going to hire women, we're only going to hire black people, every one of those is an advertisement that we will discriminate against white people. And that was done in the open out in America. In the open. They reached peak insanity to such a level. They started at the highest levels of the Democrat Party pushing tranny nonsense onto children. They reached such a level of power that these filthy demon communists in the school system started putting gay porn in child libraries so little kids can watch it and read it. That is the level of disgusting demonic insanity this country was at just 4 or 5 years ago. But like all human beings, and like all human beings who get power, they screwed up and made the most common mistake in the world. They operated, once they got power, as if A, the power was unlimited, and B, the power was never-ending. We have unlimited power. We can do whatever we want. And we'll have that unlimited power for the rest of time. Human beings all do this. Have you ever heard that saying? Be careful how you treat people on the way up. You may meet them again on the way down. And that usually is a saying about your career is what people are normally talking about. You're the new hot shot at work. You're getting promoted. You're sales manager. They're going to make you GM. All the other salesmen who came up with you, you're leaving them behind. You're now the guy making all the money, getting all the promotions. And the lesson is, hey, be really careful how you treat that guy who's dead last in the sales room. A year from now, you may be the one screwed up your life, got a DUI, your wife took off with the mailman, and the guy you made fun of for being dead last got himself together. He's now your sales manager. How were you treating him when you were on the way up? You treating him like you were better than him? That's what the lesson is. But that really is a lesson for all people who achieve any level of political power. When the communists in this country conquered everything, complete ownership of everything, they could not control themselves, didn't even attempt to, they went wild. I'm going to tell you something. We know Joe Biden wasn't in control of his faculties, wasn't in control of the presidency. We know that the communists, real dyed-in-the-wool Maoists who surrounded Joe Biden, we know that they ran the United States of America. And we know that they hurt this country perhaps mortally, but they hurt us very, very badly in ways that we may never recover from. That's how much pain they visited on this country. So all those things are bad. But in the end, that may have been a good thing because their inability to control their demonic nature revealed to the normies in this country just how sick and evil American Democrats are. When they didn't have a president who could hold them back from their worst impulses, when they could just do whatever they wanted with the auto pen, cut off gas exports, bring in a million prison gang members, do what, when they just got to run around like the savages they are, the American people sat up and went, what? No. What is it? These people are bonkers. Unchecked Democrat power for 4 years may have doomed the Democrat Party because communists have this consistent, they can never control themselves. They can never hold themselves back. When they see an inch, they take an inch. When they see something to destroy, take it, get it. They can't help themselves, and they never stop and look around and wonder how people are looking at them or how they look at other people. Now this is how they act.
But these people are wearing masks and are totally unidentified, and the question is why? The question is why? It's completely improper. And again, one has to assume they're hiding something or they're hiding misbehavior, because otherwise, why would they be wearing masks and denying their identities?
After filling up the country with 20 million barbarians and making every single American angry, Donald Trump is deporting the people. And the current Democrat talking point is these ICE guys should reveal their identities so they can be harassed by the demon mob. That's the current Democrat talking point that's dominating today. Lost. Achieving total power was the worst thing in the world for these people. Yes, America has Democrat fatigue. No, it won't last forever. You know, our power doesn't last forever either. Keep that in mind. Our power won't last forever. Let's do the right thing with it while we have it. I want you to do the right thing right now and listen to this email. Hey, Jesse, you often mention how your neighbors rave about your pseudo-smoker brisket. If you're feeding the neighborhood, may we just ask how big that piece of meat is? Also, do you have any idea how long it takes to cook a piece of meat, or do you simply depend on getting that text messages? Okay, I usually try to buy a 5 or 6 pound brisket. No, that doesn't mean everyone gets unlimited brisket, but that's a lot of brisket, and it's freaking expensive. So I buy a 5 to 6 pound brisket. I throw my brisket on the smoker for roughly 18 hours. I put it on 200 degrees for about 18 hours. Now, that will not achieve temperature. Remember, I don't have to look because I have my IQ Sense meat thermometers in there. I know what the internal temperature is. I don't have to open it up so I don't lose my smoke ring. I don't lose all that smoke. Everything stays right there. I then will walk out to my smoker and I'll crank it up to 225. I'm trying to get internal temperature of 200. Again, because of IQ Sense, my phone will tell me when it's done. I crank it out, turn it up to 225. Beep, 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 beep. My phone tells me it's done. I go out, pull it off, put it in the cooler for an hour. Enjoy. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.